ZLK. K4ZLK, W4NGU.
N4ZLK, I may not have a good signal.
It's perfectly clean, W4, never give up. Pretty good. I thought I'd throw in my thoughts. I heard you the other day talking about restricting lots to certain things. If you were an individual, would you like to hear my wealth of knowledge on that subject?
If I disappear for a minute, I'm sitting here waiting on an order of food for dinner tonight. And so, just I'll come back to you. But go ahead.
Okay. Food's more important than me any day. You can restrict a lot as an individual. It can be out in the country. It doesn't have to be in a subdivision. You can do something called deed restrictions that the courts take very seriously. They rule in favor of a lot owner who has deed restricted his lot almost every time. It's a very strong rule in the law. And of course, I'm not an attorney. But you can restrict, as I will do when I someday, I think that's my wife, I'll wait just a little bit to get that. I'm right beside a church, and I'm going to deed restrict my property as to no alcohol. In Greenville, that's really a law, but they don't abide by it. You know, Hooters is right beside that church on Lawrence Road. But anyway, if you want to fight it, it's, and you can even put in the restrictions, violate the restrictions, the property goes reverts back to the original owner. So it's a pretty strong thing. I have at least three pet graves at my parents' house, and we probably will keep that in the family. But if I ever sell it, I'm going to deed restrict it that those graves cannot be restored, cannot be disturbed. And if they ever are, it's my property again. So that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Very interesting. I never knew that. Well, it's good to learn something every day. Wow. I got most of that, right? Somewhere in the middle of that. They brought my order out, and I jumped out real quick to put it in the vehicle. But I did get most of that. So, yeah, I never knew that you could put restrictions on property like that.
Several levels of restrictions. You know, there's zoning restrictions that the county puts on that you can apply to have changed, as I did many times when I was had my building company. But this is something different. This is a deed restriction on your individual lot, and you can restrict it any way you want to. Now, it used to irritate me when people wanted to try to control what I was going to do with the land when I changed the zoning on it, even though I gave them written and recorded guidelines as to how many bedrooms, minimum square footage and stuff. But they still fought me.
I guess if you don't know and you think, well, if I buy the property, it's mine, I can do what I want, I guess. I understand counties, or I knew counties have zoning restrictions and things like that, cities, but I just never knew that an individual could sell the property and put their own restrictions on that. So that's very interesting.
Planned years ago in Greer downtown and made 28 lots. I built about half the homes and sold half the lots to a friend of mine that finished building it out. But it was zoned multifamily, and trailers could even have been put on the property. Well, I tried to buy the property, and I mean, it went to City Hall, and a big, they were all torn up about it. And I said, look, I'm going to put three-bedroom homes, two-bath homes with a garage. This is not going to be anything you're ashamed of. And man, it got into a big public meeting. The newspaper was there, and the subdivision people were there, and they had their attorney. And so I got up in the middle of the room, or at the front of the room, like I was somebody, you know. I thought I was a hot shot when I was a kid. Is y'all's attorney present? Well, I knew the answer to that question. You never ask a question in a courtroom or a public forum that you don't know the answer to. And all they pointed, here you stand up, Mr. Baldwin. I said, Mr. Baldwin, can I put trailers on that property tomorrow and ask nobody for any permission? He said, well, I said, yes or no. He said, yes, sir. I said, you may be seated.
Shut him up, didn't it?
Yeah.
Shut them up, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was mine from that point. But I improved the land. I didn't put anything, you know, it was vacant. People think land's going to stay vacant forever. Well, it's not. So when somebody wants to buy it, if it's beside you, you had the option of buying it. If you didn't, then you need to try to negotiate for them to do something that's going to be something you like. And if not, that's just tough. That's the way life is.
It's not fair, that's for sure. And you make the best of it. Listen, I am off for the next couple weeks. I'm busy this week or this coming week, but the week after, we've talked about having lunch. Maybe it'll be a good time to do it.
I thought the same thing when I heard a day or two ago you were going to have some time off, so we'll do that. I think we've got phone numbers, so we'll text for that. I'd love to get you my email address. I need that guy to... guy in Florida or wherever he is that works on radios that everybody's saying does a good job. I'd love to get the contact information on that.
And I've got it.
Well, I'll get that. Don't need it right now, but I might sometime. This is a nice hobby, but it's kind of moved beyond replacing vacuum tubes and putting in a new capacitor. The stuff's so small and wave soldered and everything, you just can't hardly work on them anymore.
And I think I've got your number. I could probably text you the information. You blanked out on the very first part of the last transmission. It might have been me. I'm not sure.
Down in a hole on Highway 11, it might have been me. But I'll give you a text. Well, I thought you might want to know about that restricting property. You do not have to be in a subdivision to do it.
I'll have to remember that and watch out for that, too. But I guess all that's supposed to be made clear at the time of sale.
Oh, absolutely. And another fun thing that happened at that meeting, there was a lady, believe it or not, named Elizabeth Taylor that thought she ruled the world. And after her namesake, I guess. But she stood up and said, he's putting houses real close together, and we don't want that in Greer. And I was putting them close together. It was a narrow outline community. But the city fathers, what you have to go to, you know, they'd all signed off on it. They wanted it. In fact, they came to me and they said, we need new housing in downtown Greer. Would you consider buying this? They actually came to me. But she stood up and, boy, they all clapped and they thought they had me. And I said, well, let's pull out the plat. And I said, seems to me that at your land right beside this proposed subdivision, your houses are 6 inches apart. And I said, what are you talking about? There's all kind of room between. I said, no, you have townhome duplexes. There's a stud and two pieces of sheetrock between you and your neighbor. You're 6 inches apart. I'm talking about 20 or 30 feet. And once again, I owned the room.
A hard point to argue with.
You know, as you get older, Shane, you're not nearly as confident as you used to be. So I don't know if I could do all that stuff again. But, it was written up in the paper. And my future wife was with me in those hearings. And they actually described her in the Greer Citizen as a mysterious dark-haired woman. Can you believe that?
Create a scandal with you, weren't they?
It was something else, but it all turned out fine. It all turned out fine. That was the first street I ever poured, and learning how to do all that and get the sewer running down the street and working with all the utilities to get everything put in. That was the first time I'd ever done that, and that was that was interesting. But I used to buy a piece of ground, and even if I didn't put it in the street, I chose the plan and built it. And I had a broker's license, so I listed it. I did everything from buying the land to here's your key.
What time period was this?
87 to about, I think I built my last house in 95.
Working on framing crews, in, or a framing crew, from like 91, 92, about to 96, I believe. And we worked mostly, the guy I worked for did a lot for John Perry, I'm sure you know him, and did some individual homes, but that was a lot of fun. But we did some siding for some bigger companies, you know, those ones, I think they're still around, but they throw up those, clear out land and throw up a bunch of homes like you're talking about where people don't like it really close together.
Really good quality home. I've never been called back on the first home, not one. And I wasn't a real big builder. I probably built less than 100 homes, which is a good bit, but I've never had one call back, Shane.
Well, because a lot of those guys can't say that. I remember the guy I worked for, he was really picky and really good about the way we did stuff. And I would ask questions, why are we doing this? Why do we do it this way? And I remember him saying a couple times, you'll see why we're doing it this way next week, because we're going to do, you know, we're framing it this week, we're going to side another house next week for somebody else, and you'll understand why we do this then. And he was right. You could tell a difference on the quality.
I called him back, Shane. 10-year-old here. Go ahead, Phil.
Oh, and never give up. Well, Shane, I trade the stock market now, and I have for 23 years for my extra money now, so I hope I never have to buy another 2x4. But I enjoyed it. My time was my own. I won't become an old man someday and say, gosh, I wish I had tried that.
Yeah, a lot of people look back and think they wish they'd done something different, or at least tried it. And good afternoon, Tom. N4ZLK.
I might live in one of those homes Phil built. I'm not for sure, but it's a good one, I'll tell you that. He built some up there in our area, Shane. And Shane, if you get time, would you send me that email again you sent me the other day? Only, I think you texted it, but email it to me. I wanted to send that to my nephew up in Boston and see what he's missing down here.
I noticed on the email it won't send that video, that length of a video, so you have to, I guess you can download it from whatever that Dropbox was, the way you got it last time. So if you need it from a text, I could do it that way. I would just need to, you just need to email me your number.
Well, you're right, but I'm not that adept at the internet. It was of some bears, Phil. It was a real good video we shot the other night. But it's just Tom, and then my call sign at gmail.com, all small letters, Shane. Go ahead, Mr. Phil.
Well, Tom, I didn't build your house. I built one about four houses down from you, or up, whichever you are standing and looking. And I think that was about the time that they came to me in Greer and said, you know, will you build some houses down here? So I didn't build more on your street. I just did one, and I know that my carpenter decided he wanted to be a builder, and he bought the lot beside the one I built and built one. But I only built one on your street, but it was not yours.
I'll send that to you when I get home. I'm mobile right now. I enjoyed building, Phil. I've actually thought about working on my contractor's license, and when I maybe retiring here in a couple of years and starting to work on stuff. I don't know the way things are going. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do miss framing houses. I really enjoyed that.
Got the hammer too much, but occasionally I did for the camaraderie with the guys, you know. And I remember one time we were on Henderson Circle in Greer, and the sky was so blue, and there were some beautiful clouds. And we were framing, and somebody had on their radio playing I'm in the High Life Again, and I thought I was a man.
That's nice, Phil, I'll tell you. I never was that talented. The only thing I ever done, Shane, was electricity and electronics.
That takes some talent, too, because not everybody can do that.
Thunders and eyeballs, and I never was burnt by 480, so I consider myself lucky. Almost everyone I worked with had been burned.
That electrical stuff, Shane, don't let him play that down at all. He knows it well. But Shane, I did one thing. When I bought some land, I built a subdivision on it, and I told my subs, I had a meeting, and I said, "Now I don't ever crowd you guys, and I give you time and all this stuff." And of course, they love working for me. I carried the checkbook in the truck, and it would take, you know, 4 months or five to build a house if you scheduled it really good. But I said, "Guys, I need a model home in this subdivision right on the corner of the entrance. And let's get her done this one time, okay?" And they all said, "Okay." So I stood in the middle of that lot with a cell phone, and I directed, I mean, every board. I mean, the next thing, I had them come in 2 or 3 days in advance. I had them ready. And I built a stick, no trusses, stick-built house, quality house now. You're going to say, "Oh, no, you can't do that." And I touched it up, finished, in 16 days. And it had a cut-up roof. It was a nightmare. But we got her done. I had my house, and every one of them said, "We'll quit you. We'll never work for you again if you do this again." I said, "Don't worry, I won't."
I see them come down the road with a couple of flatbed trucks now, and the trusses all built, and the walls all built. Boy, they throw those things up fast, Phil, on slabs.
A cousin of a friend, it was just a little, you know, three-bedroom ranch, and we got that up. We got it framed, you know, in about 5 days. I think there was one other guy that would do some cutting for us, but that part of it can go really fast. It's the rest of it that takes time.
The first of your transmission, you guys doubled in order.
You guys could do that. Maurice and I built our garage back in Kansas, but I don't
know. It's the next day, and I normally don't just kind of cure in 5 weeks.
Got to cure some stuff for the 24x24 garage. And my dad said, "I'll loan you the money," but he says, "You got to build it." And I'm just not a good woodworker, but with my neighbor's help, we got her done. Go ahead, Phil.
Would you, Tom?
Yeah, go ahead, Phil. I just said that Bernice and I built our 24x24 garage from a Sears and Roebuck kit back in Kansas. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, anyway, Shane and Tom, those were the good old days. I enjoyed all that building, and I enjoyed working with the people for the most part. I found that I'd rather just build a spec house, and it would sell quickly in those days, and that was the way to go. But when I did a contract house for somebody, they'd call you every night and want to talk for an hour or two, and I said, "Look, I signed up to build you a quality house, not to teach you how to build. I just don't have 2 hours a night to talk to you." There's a big vulture or something just flew right beside me here on Highway 11. And that reminds me, coming into work this morning about 8:20, five little black bears and their mama went across the road, and I stopped to keep other cars from hitting them. And she got across the road there and stopped and looked back at me and said, "Don't you try it, boy." I was thinking, I'm on your side. I don't want your kids to get hurt. But a few months ago, a baby, well, not a baby, looked like it was a year old. It got hit. And the next day, the mother got hit. She came back, and even though the DEC or whoever had removed the bear, the policeman called them, the smell was still there on the road, and she came back to try to find her baby, and she got hit. So I said, "That's not going to happen this time." So I just held up the traffic.
five little cubs like that. I'm sure it could happen, but it seems like, now that you say that, I heard a story recently that the wildlife or game wardens, whatever you call them, they had said that they think there's a mama bear that adopted a couple of cubs. But because five of them, that's a big family.
There's that big. But on the first one, when the baby had gotten killed, somebody had stopped and cut off its claws. People are animals. But anyway, both times policemen stopped and kept everybody away. You can get in trouble for shooting a bear or killing it. But it was clear in both cases that they had been hit by a car. There was substantial damage and blood all over the road and you name it. But somebody cut the claws off that baby. Can you believe that?
Surprise me. Go ahead, Tom.
No, you're right. People are animals nowadays, and that's sad. Well, we had those three out in the backyard with his mama, but Shane got a picture of this. This one, I think there was two cubs and a mama, and then out in the field was this big boar. That was a big bear to me, Shane. I heard that they killed a record one up near Landrum here a couple years ago, up around 800 pounds or something, but they ain't going to get no argument out of me. Bernice and I was talking about that this morning. And I was just in Discount Tire, and I was with a fella by the name of Mark, and he had 23,000 acres back in Kentucky, and that's what he done was, in fact, some guy called him on the phone there while I was there and wanted to transfer some money by Venmo. I've heard of that. I can use PayPal, but I've never used that other. And what a nice guy. And he lives up here in the gated edition up 101. And boy, he had some pictures of some beautiful deer, I'll tell you. But that boar looked pretty good size to me. Shane, go ahead.
Thinking about hoping he was there, I was hoping he would stand up so you could just see how big he is. I'm not good at estimating, but from the other ones I've seen around, even the little, cubs, or the little grown male cubs that are by themselves, they're probably 150 pounds maybe a little more. I would say he was probably north of 400, but I could be wrong, maybe even bigger. Go ahead, Phil.
A boar or a bear?
Well, I said boar. I meant a male bear, whatever they call them, Phil. But you mentioned those people doing that to that bear. I went deer hunting once back in Kansas, and we had huge deer. And that morning I saw Bambi, and I got to thinking, Tom, you don't even like deer meat, and I've never hunted them since, and I wouldn't shoot that deer. I just don't care for the meat, and if I didn't care for the meat, I didn't shoot it. That's just my policy. Yeah, it was a male bear, and it was a video that Shane took, Phil, and it was quite good. Out of his diesel truck, I could hear it idle in there. Guys, I'll let you go. Thanks for letting me break in. I didn't mean to interfere, but I surely did enjoy it. Go ahead, film, pick it up, and I'll sign. I'm back here, and Bernice is in the house. It's already hot outside, 84 degrees. W4NGU in 0TR73s.
Tom, it's never an imposition. I always love talking to you. And not glad to hear about that heat. The other night I walked out, I heard a big truck idling in front of my house, and the cable company was putting fiber, winding it around some power lines going down the street above ground. And they scratched up my mailbox and must have hit it really hard because it won't even close and I can't even bend it back. So I bought one last night I'm going to put on there because I don't want to miss any mail. But they're going to get a bill about that. I'm going to call them today and see what has to be done to enter a claim. You'd think they'd say something to the homeowner, but of course not. You know, they thought in the middle of the night they'd get away with it. Go ahead, Shane.
Tom, I was in my personal truck. It's a diesel, and it's amazing how much that video picks up that noise. But yeah, I'll resend it to you. Have a good day. Say hello to Miss Bernice. Yeah, Phil, I can send you that video too if you want, if you're interested. I could probably text it to you. It goes over by text. I texted it to another friend and it went right away, but send it by email. It says it's too big to send, so they'll upload it in some Dropbox and the receiver can download it from there.
Dropbox, you could do that. That'd be fine. Well, talking to some people at work that live up around North Greenville, that area on Highway 11, apparently bears and coyotes are just a weekly occurrence. They're just all kind of wildlife up there.
When I was working nights and I was home in the day more, you know, I'd get up, I would see them in the summertime more during the day, but I rarely see the bear anymore unless I catch them on the side of the road. I know they're around because I've seen their sign, you know, around the house. I know they still come around. And I don't have bird feeders out because they'll tear them up. Just got to be careful about that. You got to keep the trash away or, you know, don't put any food trash outside for sure.
Actually, talking about building, one of my carpenters, I pulled up to see him one afternoon and he had a little bear in a cage, and he said the mother had been shot, and I don't think he would have done it. But he said, somebody needs to take care of this baby. And I said, oh, let me pick that thing up. He said, you're crazy. And he pulled up his shirt sleeve, and his arms were all scratched up. He said, that's a wild animal. He said, you can't hold that like a puppy.
Okay, no, you don't want to. And I'll tell you what, I had a mama and three cubs go through the woods right behind my house, not far. I was cutting grass and I was dumping the grass out and I saw them. The mama raised up and looked at me and the little cubs, I mean, they were tiny. They couldn't have been 2 feet tall. And they, all three of them, just scrambled up a tree immediately. It was crazy how quick they could do that.
When they're young, they don't have to get older to have them.
Works in your office there, not necessarily your office, but she's a secretary. Her dad was a ham radio operator, a big, kind of did the Mount Pisgah, the Mount Mitchell repeater. Do you remember, you know who I'm talking about?
Real nice lady. I was talking to her about her dad earlier this week. The Pisgah repeater used to be a rock in the area. I mean, you know, it had all the coverage and everything, and then they got in that war with the guys in Tennessee, put one up on the same frequency, and I don't know. What happened to the Pisgah repeater?
Years ago, you used to be able to pull it up all the time. I really haven't tried, so I don't know. But yeah, Joan, that's who it is. Connor, my son-in-law, she called him and said they had some ham radio stuff they were going through and wanted to know if he wanted to come over and look at it and some of her dad's stuff. And I went with Connor. I picked up an antenna, but I got to meet Joan. She's a real nice lady.
15 years old, I used to call Ken Woodard, WA4BBW. I called him 2 or 3 in the morning. He'd answer on 2 meters. He just on the repeater. He was a real light sleeper, and that big, deep voice, I was sorry to hear he passed on here just a few weeks ago. Well, a couple of months ago now, I guess.
Yeah, 15, and at 2:30 in the morning, he's probably like, doggone it, here's that kid calling me again.
Well, it must not have been too inconvenient, because he always answered me.
He was a good guy from what I understand, and he knew a lot of people, and he helped out a lot of people.
And remember him with a walkie-talkie riding that car on a cable to get up to the Channel 13 TV site, and that thing would be rattling, and you could hear it on the walkie-talkie. Did you ever hear that?
Okay, no. You know, I don't know if I ever met him. I've just heard a lot about him. I never... I don't know when he was real active, or maybe the wrong repeaters. And I've had my license since 91, but I just had a 2-meter in my personal vehicle. And I'd have it on in the morning or at night and listen, but on the way, you know, during, while I was working or at home, I didn't really get on the air. So I probably heard him at some point, but just didn't know who he was.
Well, the nearest thing to, I don't remember the town now because I just programmed it into this new radio a week ago. There was no 1676 on Pisgah, at least according to the repeater book, and sure enough, it's might be in Lincolnton or something like that, but I just wondered if some coordinating committee said, you know, we're going to give the frequency to you guys in Tennessee or what. I thought that Pisgah really predated that other machine, and I always had in my mind that they were the bad guys, but I don't know what ever happened to that. You'd think hams wouldn't put up another repeater on the same frequency on the two highest mountains on the eastern seaboard. It just doesn't make sense.
People don't always do things that make sense, do they? We're finding that out.
Well, listen, I really enjoyed it. I'm just about to get home, and I got to get on this mailbox, and then I got two other jobs right behind it. So, I didn't pull up my phone. Well, I'm sure your number's in my phone. But if not, we'll get together in the next week or two before you have to go back to work, okay?
Looking forward to it. And it's good to hear you back on the radio. I know you didn't have one for a little while. Whether it's the vehicle or the radio, I'm not sure. But I enjoyed it, too. Have a good day. W4NGU and 4ZLK Mobile.
I wrecked my truck, and I didn't even want to make people try to strain to hear me with a walkie-talkie inside the cab. So I listened to y'all, but I didn't talk much for a while. W4, never give up.
You see?
TN4ZLK.
What you doing today?
I heard you call this morning, and also last night I came back to you, but I don't know if your volume was down or you ran away right away, but I tried anyway.
Accidentally flipped to another channel. Had to figure out how to, all the microphone settings on this thing on the you know, it's got the keypad on it, and I'm got to make sure I'm not pushing the wrong thing sometimes. I'm trying to figure out how to change. I got the thing where I change channels pretty easily, man. No, not to hit the right button, but I might have hit it on a memory to VFO, perhaps.
Yeah. Last night I was listening to something when you called. I was on the way home. It's probably around 8 o'clock or so. I heard you throw your call out. So I didn't come back right away, and I thought, well, you probably changed or went out of the room. And then this morning I came right back to you. So I thought, well, his volume must be down.
And I didn't, I was fiddling around with, I usually, you know, I get up here upstairs and start messing with other stuff. I might have been fiddling with something else and I heard it, but I did have the volume turned down this morning. Sure enough, that very well could have been what it was. But I don't, like I said, I think I got the point there where I know which buttons to use and which buttons not to use. I did try to get into to Mount Mitchell earlier today and didn't have any problems getting into that. They said everything sounded good. It wouldn't. It's not a real good signal here since I'm so far down in a hole, but I can get into it reasonably well and hear it pretty well, too.
Did you say the other day that you got a new radio or a different radio with a little more power?
Got a Yaesu FTM 6000R, it's a dual band, 50 watt rig, mobile. And it's not a dual, it's just not dual M band, it's got, you know, just a 2-band radio, fairly simple, just analog. But it did have a data port on the back of it, so that was something I might be interested in the future if I decide to do something with APRS again and pack it. How many radios have those 9 or 10 pin data adapters on the back anymore?
So looking at reading about that radio last night, kind of doing a little comparison between that one and the 400DR and the 300. I was just looking at the different options on them. You said it was just analog. I thought, so that one doesn't have any digital at all, and it is just analog?
This was just analog. I've tried Fusion before, and it's okay, but it's not, it's a little different than the, to D-Star. I'm probably more committed to D-Star than Fusion, but I can work either band, I mean either mode, through a couple of different radios. But Fusion's a little different. It's hard to, if you get the 300, for instance, you can hook it up directly to a computer if you want to through a cable. I've got one of the cables that's never been used. It's a cable situation. You don't have to use that HRI 200 JC makes, and you can get into rooms and do the whole thing with a personal digital mode. Just by using either the 200, 300, or 400 JC mobiles. So if you're looking at any of those, the 350 is a true dual band with APRS. You can run APRS in the background. That's probably the best value of the three. But I didn't, like I said, I didn't want that. I want something a little more. This is a fairly compact radio, and this has got a detachable front plate, but it's real small. I didn't really need the detachable front plate, and so I just wanted to get something basic. Actually, it's still not, none of the radios are cheap anymore, Shane. They're all, around $300 or so. But this one does have the mobile mount with it and the mount for the display, should I decide to remote it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know what I want to do. I kind of do want to get a dual band that has the dual VFO, dual receive, because I've got the capabilities of 440, but it's either or, so... And I don't know if I'm interested in the digital stuff yet. Everything I've heard, everybody has what they like, and I think DMR is getting more popular, so I don't know. I'm just not there yet, but I was looking at them, just kind of reading and doing a little bit of prospecting on them. But, so I appreciate that.
DMR stuff, I don't use DMR, but DMR is very expensive. I think the biggest expense is... probably the DMR and the hotspots, because most people use them for the hotspots. They can't get into the repeaters. But you might be able to, as much as you travel in your area, you might be able to get into it. Just like Patrick knows the DMR stuff really well. He's probably probably knows as much more than anybody on this repeater as far as the DMR. And I just use my D-Star with the hotspots. I don't have a repeater close enough for me to get into with any... get into well enough to do that. But if you want to try the Fusion, you can buy a $150 radio or something like that, and you do handheld, and you get on Fusion with a hotspot or a repeater if you want to do that. But the 300 is probably the best value out there right now. It's still a little more expensive than it was initially, but it'll run APRS and VHF, UHF, whatever you want to run on the other band concurrently, and that's a fairly important thing with APRS. You can do it with a 200 Yaesu, but it's not a true dual band. It's kind of like you can pull both bands up, but you can only use one at a time. It's just not a dual in-band receive like the 300 is. Now, the 300 is also a full duplex, too, which... I believe they'll cross band repeat, and that also means that you can work ISS with it too.
Now the 400 DR, whatever, it looks like an upgraded version. Is that when you say the 300 is the best deal? Are you considering that one too out of the three of them? Is that what you're saying?
Is a good radio. It's not as new as the 300 is, and you may or may not like the styling of it. It does have a large display, and a lot of people like it. But I just look at some comparisons. I've seen them, and they've got a really big display. It's a good-looking radio, and it's about the same price as the 300. I think it may be more. I haven't priced them recently. It could be a little bit more than that. But anyway, check those two out. But I've had the 300 and liked it. It's a little, the display head's a little big for it. But listen, I got to run downstairs. I got a guy doing a fire treatment. I need to go pay him. But I'll catch you again in a little bit, Shane. N4DJC clear for now.
All right, talk to you later. N4ZLK.
N4ZLK, N0TR. Good afternoon, Jerry. Shane, I just sent you a picture of Phil's new radio. It's a Yaesu. I call him Jesus. But boy, it really looks nice. I texted it to you.
I will look for it. I'm almost home, so when I get there, I'll look for it. I appreciate that. Yeah, and I was just assuming, I'm sure you heard, I was just assuming the 400 was the newest and greatest, but, you know, I kind of thought they went in order, 200, 300, 400, but I just learned that. This is not the case, so that's good to know.
Well, I think the biggest difference in those Kena products and the good Yaesus and Kenwoods and such is the front end on them is just better. And I'd rather give a little more money and get a good one. I wish mine had both displays on it here, but these are old Icom 208s. And in the cars, though, I run Yaesus for years and years. Never had a bit of trouble, Shane.
I had an HF rig, which is a Yaesu. It's a 757GX. I got that from my father-in-law. And I get so many reports on the audio on that. It's just a simple radio. It doesn't have an internal menu or anything. It's just all buttons. And I love that thing. And I've got a Kenwood 2-meter, which I like, but the screen is so small. And, you know, my eyes are getting older. We talked about that. I'm not getting older, but my eyes are. And then I've got a couple of Yaesu radios, which I like the screen size on them, and I've, you know, a couple mobile Yaesus, I really like them, so I've had good luck. I agree with you on the buying the Yaesu or the Kenwood.
What it feels is a beautiful thing, and it's got a nice size display on it. I don't know the model number of it, but if I change radios, that'll be the one I get. I happen to have a spare dual band, one that I bought from N4IQ's brother, Phil, and I just have it down here in a tool cabinet. But mine's remoted in the Avalon and in the Tacoma, and you just got to run that little bitty tiny cable up to it. And I really like that. I like the microphone to come out the front, but I did have one time to come out the side. I don't know how those are in the truck and the car right now without going out there. I was just looking up to see when I needed to go in with the Tacoma on the mileage to get the tires rotated like I did the Avalon this morning, because we don't drive all that much and it's a long time in between rotations, but I think it's a good idea. But yeah, take a look at that radio. I can't say enough about it. It's a beauty.
I appreciate that, man. Really good to hear you again today. And I am just about to pull in the driveway, and I got to get some stuff done before these friends of my wife show up. I like to say they're friends of my wife because they're going to be my friends eventually. I'm just kidding. No, we've known them for a long time now, but she met them first. So they're friends of my wife. We'll talk to you later, Tom. You have a great day. N0TR, N4ZLK.
Well, I'll give you the tip of the day. I'd never heard this. My daughter told me this the other day, and she's as ornery as I am. She says, you can pick your nose, and you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your relatives, Shane. There's your tip of the day from N0TR. 73, Shane. Talk to you later.
Probably the number one truth out there. I learned that a long time ago, and I think that's God's way of letting us know he has a sense of humor. 4ZLK.
84SRR, I'm trying to find the call sign for Mr. Gary. He was supposed to call me this morning, and I need to go ahead and call him and say, or get in touch with him some way. Over.
That would be KI4DOS, Gary.
Send him an email. I knew that was his call sign, but I must have been born with dementia or forgetfulness. So, KI4DOS, just like disk operating system. Well, I do appreciate that. I'll try to look him up on QZ and send him an email if I can't find his phone number. But in case he's monitoring, if he needs to call Robert, he can get me on the 6914 number. Now, I am in my pocket while I run Buddy Dog out. Over.
Do you want me to call Gary and tell him to call you, Robert?
that'd be very kind of you if you would. If he's not busy or occupied, he wanted to call me. He said it on the net last night, and I understand people get busy, and it wasn't, you know, earth-breaking news. So, but yeah, if he could, if you could do that, I'll hang around here on the inside, and me and Buddy too, and we'll just wait on his call.
Yeah, I hate to give phone numbers out over the air, but he does. He gives his own out, but and I do too, but I don't feel like I should do it for Gary. But give me your call sign. I got your name. Let me see. R-O-B-E-R-T. Give me your call sign, and I'll give him a call here in just a second, Robert.
Well, thank you so much. It's Kilo Delta 4 Sierra Romeo Romeo. And tell him if he's got the time, I don't want to interrupt his lunch or nothing, but just go ahead and give me a holler because I might be preoccupied coming up here soon.
Okie doke. I'll do it right now. And I am November 0 Tango Romeo in 0TR and Tom 73. Catch you later. I'll call him right now.
Thank you so much, Mr. Tom. I appreciate it. KD4 SRR clear.
For Sierra Romeo Romeo in 0TR.
SRR, go ahead.
Robert, I called him, and it says on my phone it's his home phone, and he didn't answer, and I just wanted you to know, but I left him a message and told him to give you a call. I guess he's got your phone number.
I don't mind giving out my alternative number. It's my backup phone anyway, so I don't get a whole lot of traffic on that. And mostly spam calls, so you know how that goes. But, yeah, I don't mind giving out. If he doesn't have it, I'll give it to you. I'm not afraid of that one. It's 864, of course, 200-6914. That's 864-200-6914.
This is in 0TR. If he calls me back, I'll give it to him, Robert, and QSL on 864-200-6914. You have a good day, sir. I'm sorry I couldn't got you in touch with him. But he listens on this repeater a lot. This is NZRLTR.
Roger that. Well, you made the effort, and I appreciate it, especially right here at lunchtime. And I do appreciate it and tell him I'll have it in my pocket, but sometimes T-Mobile works and sometimes T-Mobile don't. So if it goes to voicemail, I'll get it. But anyway, pleasant day. Stay as cool as possible. And we wish y'all 73. This is KD4 SRR, and we'll be clear. And thanks again.
Don't worry about your age. I'm 47 years old and dyslexic. I get them numbers kind of reversed now and then, so I forget too. Have a good day. It's 0TR clear.
Man, you only 47. I beat you by about 21 years. And as everybody says, I'm 68 going on 12, but I guess that's a personal problem, not a compliment. This is KD4 SRR clear.
I guess you did, that went right over your head. I said I'm 47 and dyslexic. I'm actually 74, but I get the numbers reversed, Robert. So have a good day. N0TR clear.
You're still a young man. They got several good years of working left in you, and we expect to see you in the field plowing it next spring.
Retired. That ain't going to happen. We've been down here 12 years near the grandkids, so no going back to work now. That's a four-letter word, Robert. Take care. Have a good day. Enjoy TR clip.
Well, you can be a mentor to the young grandchildren to give them appreciation of the earth. For Christmas, you can buy them all a Mary Tiller.
Form 2 Tango Mobile.
Fat Mobile.
I'm Foxtrot Mobile. I'm getting old. Foxtrot Mike Zulu. This is N0TR. Lost you a while ago, but I can hear you fine now. This is Tom.
And again, did you get your tires rotated? Over.
Got them back home with my wonderful wife here, and just sitting here doing nothing, getting ready to eat a breadstick she just made.
With Uniform 2 Tango Mobile.
Good afternoon, Rusty. Talking to Kilowatt 9 FMZ, Fox Mike Zulu. And go ahead, ma'am. And this is W2T, Rusty.
Getting a lot of static here up in Asheville. I'm just leaving Asheville now to go back to Hendersonville. Might have to catch you later. Over, K9 FMZ.
Go ahead, Rusty.
Roger, well, you're getting in pretty good right now, and I know you'll find there's a wonky spot up there for this repeater, and I found it when I was up there and up that way for the Ham Fest last weekend, so, yeah, you'll find that, and good afternoon to you, Tom, and of course, I'm out running errands again, and I'll do them in the heat of the day, of course. Go ahead, Tom, and I'll be back in a few minutes. I'll get my go juice when I come back. N0TR, take it, W2T.
Rusty. Well, this lady was up in Hendersonville earlier, and I lost her. And now she's in Nashville. She's kind of stretching out the radio waves. And I didn't catch your name up there. Name Rusty, she's up in the mountains up there.
Just had some idiot that made a left turn out of the straight ahead lane. I was trying to figure out what he was doing, and he was pulling a trailer full of junk behind him, and instead of going straight ahead, which I thought he was, he turned on his turn signal and made a left turn. Oh, well. So you went out and got your tires rotated today, huh? Did it improve them any?
Oh, I don't know, Rusty. I just do that every 5,000. If you buy your tires at Discount Tire, it's free. And I think it makes them wear more evenly. Most of our driving's in town, so we don't get near the miles out of them a person would that really does driving like you do. And I looked that lady's name up there. She's from Hendersonville, and her name is Susan, if she happens to get on the top of a hill here in a little bit. But yeah, I went down yesterday. I called them, and they said, well, come on down. It was around noon, and they said, we'll get you right in. It's a slow day. And they told me that again today. It was a slow day. But when I went down there, there was either 7 or 9 people that had checked in ahead of me. And you know how far that is from my house to Discount Tires, like 6 miles. So I was there in less than 15 minutes, and they had that many check in. And the way they do it is, if you have an appointment, you're taken care of first. And if you're a walk-in and somebody comes in that has an appointment, you go to the back of the line.
Well, I used to get my tires. And, of course, the last time I needed tires, I was able to get them at the Firestone store, so that worked out. Anyway, and getting things, as they say, getting things done, you know. And trying to see what I can get done. Got to go to Office Depot. Got to pick up some envelopes to mail some QSL cards out in. Got to pick up a 3-ring binder. I'm printing out some training manuals, and I need to put them all in a big binder. So I'm going to get me a 3-inch 3-ring binder so I can put it all in one, because it's all for the same type of stuff as doing my photography stuff that I'm doing online. So that's what I'm going to do. And I got to stop at my computer guru up here, and I got a couple of questions for him if he's in the office today. So, you know, that's about what I'm doing today.
If Susan wants to get back in. Well, sound like you're busy. Well, I haven't done too much. By the time I got around this morning, or we got around, we went out and picked some tomatoes and picked up some sticks out in the front yard. I got a dang maple tree, and every time you get 15 miles an hour wind, it drops a whole bunch of sticks, and they're dead sticks. It goes up about 10 feet, and then it branches out into all these little limbs. It's kind of a pain. Most of them I can mow, but they get about 6 foot long, and I don't want to mow over them. But at any rate, I'm trying to mow as little as possible now because that fescue does not like hot weather, Rusty.
it don't. And yeah, my sister has that and has what's that grass they grow in Florida a lot of. Anyway, she has that in her front yard, and she had a couple of spots that were looking kind of getting kind of brownish on her while I was down there. And we went and got her some sprinklers. She has a sprinkler system built in, but it's got a bunch of broken sprinklers and things like that. And it was cheaper to go buy a couple of these units you can stand up on stands and let them water your yard. And she went and got a couple of those, and we put them out. And for the next 4 or 5 days before I left, we watered the yard every day until the last 3 days when we got monsoons every afternoon, so we didn't need to do much watering. But anyway, and all my thermometer on the car says it's 94 out here.